Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So on this episode of the podcast, I'd like to continue our look at entrepreneurship and the executive formats with a conversation with Terrell Fuller. Terrell is in our class of 2019, and she recently launched her own business. And she and I sat down to talk a little bit more about how things are going, as well as why she decided to pursue an MBA and what she's enjoyed about her experience at Darden so far. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Terrell Fuller. Terrell, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So for our listeners at home, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Where are you from? What are you doing right now?
Yeah. So I am actually a native Washingtonian. You can actually see where I grew up from the Darden classrooms here in Roslyn, which is always kind of funny. I am currently I started my own business a few months ago, so I work for myself, but I have recently been hired as a subcontractor for the Navy.
All right. So tell us just a little bit more about your business.
Sure. So, I've been working in advertising for years and years, and about this past spring, I finally, after having lots of conversations and going on lots of interviews and getting, honestly, advice from pretty much anyone who gave it to me, realized that, you know, I really wanted to try to do my own thing. And I felt like there was sort of no time like the present. It was, like, good for me to try this, and I had the kind of full support of the MBA group. So I originally started the consulting groups, really focusing on what I knew, which is marketing and digital strategy. However, my interest has always been a lot more in the marketing sphere, sort of essentially around operations and change management. So, like, the thing that always drew me in marketing is I'm very interested in how people interact with the world and the things around them and sort of influencing behavior. For marketing, that's always very straightforward as to influencing behavior to normally, you know, purchase something, join something like that. But, you know, for me, I've been more interested in, like, how I can levitate that a little bit more and to different spheres. We all talk about design thinking, but we're seeing that happen a lot more in, you know, how people design spaces or even like construct like processes and workflows. So while I started off with just sort of this straight up marketing, focusing around startups and helping businesses really create these processes that work not only with how they communicate with customers, but also internally.
So how did you decide that now was the right time for you to come back to school and get an MBA?
It was, I feel like the best way to describe it, it was like a couple of short shoves and then like a really big push. When I started my Darden MBA, I was very much convinced I was going to be a switcher. Like I remember going into the initial happy hours and telling people that's exactly what I was going to do. But as I kept meeting with the career counselor, and actually even my classmates, they all kind of kept saying the same thing to me, which is like, I just see you doing your own thing. And when I talked to people about my ideal jobs, it was never about the company. There was never XYZ company I really wanted to work for. I had previously worked for really big brands and big companies, and that sort of brand appeal didn't really appeal to me. The things that I was really looking for were things like autonomy, flexibility, jobs where I could really leverage personal relationships, jobs where I have a lot of interactions with other people and have that general feeling of like relationship development. And finally, you know, between my conversations with Sarita here, this Career Development Center, and then one of professors, Connie Dunlap, they both sort of agreed that, you know, I'm really meant to be an entrepreneur. Those are entrepreneurial, you know, skills. And it's sort of like, you know, if you go to the doctor, you get a diagnosis, you get a second diagnosis. I feel like I was on my fifth diagnosis of being an entrepreneur. And I finally was like, you know, I'm going to just do this. And spoke to a few people in the Darden network, Patty Weeks being one of them, Jeremiah McLeod is another, who really are veteran entrepreneurs who've done a lot of things in the marketing operations space. And they are like, you know, we've done it, like you can do it. So, the image I always leave people with, it was sort of, I was jumping the deep end, but I was jumping the deep end knowing that there was like a lifeguard there and I got some friends watching me and there's a floaty I could swim to on the side if need be.
That's a big change though, mentally, from thinking I'm a switcher, you know, maybe I'm moving to an established company to starting your own thing.
Oh, completely. I mean, that it was a whole different identity. And a lot of the elements that happened was just me getting comfortable saying, like, I work for myself. Oh, I start my own company. And even sometimes saying the words over and over again, you start to realize, like, oh, this is a reality. And even things like getting a website up and getting business cards printed and, you know, having a pitch ready at any given time is something that I've started to realize it's become this whole lifestyle change. As if anyone who lives in D.C. or grew up in D.C. can tell you, like, the classic question anybody asks you in D.C. is, like, what do you do? And so as soon as you strip that identity away from you and you're like, no, I've started my own business, it not only kind of distinguishes yourself, but it also, you know, leads to a whole nother questions. And sure enough, you start having to pitch just people you meet, you know, at coffee shops, at friends' parties, et cetera.
Yeah, when they say, what do you do? And you say, well, I work for myself. I've started my own business. Yeah. The natural question is, well, tell me about your business.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I guess since people in D.C. ask that question, like, at lunch, at breakfast, dinner, social occasions.
Yeah, no, and it's great because I do think, you know, that sometimes people see that D.C. is, like, such a status city. But at heart, it's a big connector city. And I feel like, you know, people always like to help other people. And connect with other people. So, you know, it's always kind of, it can feel overwhelming at first. And then, you know, at the end, like, everyone's always interested in it because it is something different that you don't always see.
Yeah. So when you thought about Darden, you know, what ultimately, you know, led you to make this decision?
So this is probably another example of a couple of shoves and then a big push. I had literally started looking at MBA programs when I was like 24, 25, which was several years ago. I took a GMAT course. At the time I was working, and I kept working in different companies and feeling like I had these great ideas and these things I really wanted to do and change. But I wasn't ever able to kind of get enough people paying attention to what I was saying. And part of it was just like not having, I feel like, letters behind my name. You know, it's when you're young, it's so easy just to be like, oh, she's inexperienced and doesn't know what she's talking about. So I had been kind of flip-flopping about getting an MBA. I took the GMAT, but then I kept kind of changing jobs and my career kept advancing. So it was really it for a while. I felt like, well, you know, I keep moving forward, but I felt like at each career, I kept having the same frustrations. And even though I was climbing up, I still wasn't making the sort of impactful changes I really wanted to. So I talked to several friends of mine who got an MBA, and they talked about the perks of that. I think probably the big shove there that I joke is I literally was about to have my GMAT scores expire. And I was like, it's now or never. And I am going to apply and really start the search up again. Seriously, I had a whole booklet of brochures I had been collecting. And finally, it was like, okay, here's the shove again.
And I mean, for most exec candidates, it's hard to find that right time, right? So timing is kind of tricky. I mean, there's maybe a window where it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I mean, I literally had my scores were about to expire, and I had a week between starting one job and ending another job. So I sort of locked myself down and I was like, okay, let's just see what happens if I could hammer out, you know, a really solid essay, and, you know, this is the time, why not? That was a little bit at the like space. So I do encourage people. It's like, it's possible to get your MBA applications together in a week. I did it. It's not always the best way you want to spend a week off, but I'm really happy I ended up doing that.
And so you're here now. You're about to enter quarter eight.
We
were talking before the podcast that you're going to go to India in quarter eight.
I'm really excited about
that. Which is your second global residence.
I wanted to go to India for ages and ages. So
what are you most excited about?
Well, before going to Darden, I went to Kenyon College where I was an English major. My favorite author is Salman Rushdie. So a lot of what my sort of classic perception of India is so much of what I've like read of his work. that's definitely a huge part of it. I think one thing I'm also really interested in is, you know, the more we study about business, the more global it is. And you start, and even for myself, when I would work on digital projects, you know, most of my team would oftentimes be in India. And I feel like it's important to understand that our world is meshing together more and more. So I want to learn about the culture. I want to learn about the people. I want to visit these factories and companies and see what they're like. And I'm also, there's some, you know, the classic silly things I'm very excited about, the food. And rumor has it we might take a Bollywood dancing class, which I'm pretty thrilled about. So hopefully.
Is that be a side trip or is that something you might actually do?
I don't know. Some of our classmates are talking about organizing it, even if it's not an official Darden activity.
Well, there's always, I mean, room for side, you know, side experiences, and you do have some evenings off. And
exactly.
So, that's great. And you went to Europe as your...
I went to China before.
Oh, China. Okay. Mm-hmm. So China and, I mean, so the two of the world's largest economies.
Yeah, and China was a great example of a trip that I'm so happy I went to. You know, I consider myself very well read and very knowledgeable of the world and very well traveled. I'd never been to China, though. And my perception of China before I went and after I went were completely different. Mm. And it's such a good example about why we travel. Like, I think it's easy just to say, you know, oh, I know about China. I've read X, Y, Z book about it. But it's very different when you go there and you see it.
And y'all were over there. I've mentioned this a couple times because it seemed like the tariff conversation really picked up while you were there.
Completely. It was bizarre. And also because so much of the news is censored,
we're
trying to figure out what's happening. I was just talking about with somebody about I kept watching BBC, but the only coverage I feel like I got about anything was about this like huge cricket scandal. So, and I was like, where's the other news happening? Very up to date about the cricket scandal that occurred.
What? And see, I missed it. I missed the whole cricket scandal.
I know. It's just different priorities.
So that trip is typically Beijing and Shanghai.
Right.
What stands out as a sort of favorite memory from the trip to China?
Oh, wow. You know, I think what makes China, and I think a lot of people will talk about this, there's several great memories I have there. The Great Wall is pretty amazing. It is completely, you're never going to understand that scale from photographs or even video. It's just incomprehensible until you're there. And I think, you know, that was such an amazing experience. I think also it was fascinating too, and my favorite things I did see there was one, the factory tours we did for GM. And, you know, I've known plenty of people. I went to college in Ohio, and GM is such a big deal there. And I've known people whose families had worked at GM. And sure enough, we got to talk to this guy there who had, you know, come over from Detroit. He'd started working at GM when he was 18. I think he was in his 60s then. And he was just talking about how much he loved working in the GM China factory. And, you know, how amazing it is and the comparisons. And it's like, it was such a unique perspective. Mm-hmm. And just even seeing how the factory worked, I mean, it was just pretty, something I'm always going to think about when I think about that mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah, the global residencies, I mean, you know, you're obviously taking courses that hopefully align with it. So y'all were global economics?
Econ and operations. So both of those worked so well with both the tariffs that were happening mm-hmm. there and operations, just, again, seeing how companies are structured.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've talked with, I think we've probably achieved full global residency representation here on the podcast. Nice. And everybody talks about how they're affected by the trips and how the perspective that you have mm-hmm. on, you know, business and the world changes, which is the goal.
Yeah.
So you're now on the sort of downhill side of the program. Your quarter eight is pretty close to being done.
I know.
And then after quarter eight, you have quarters 9 and 10, which are the elective period. Are there particular classes that you're looking forward to in the elective period?
I am excited. I'm taking a lot of entrepreneurial classes, which I'm very interested in, not just because of the learnings, but also really connecting with some of my other entrepreneur classmates a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a really unique experience, and for us to sort of have our shared learnings and shared struggles.
Well, that network is perhaps even more important for entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
I feel like there's a growing interest in entrepreneurship within our program. So I'm not sure. You probably have an even better sense of the class of 2019. But the class of 2020, we had a bunch of people stand up on the first day of school and basically say, look, I'm interested in starting my own business. Here's my interest. And this is the particular area or industry that's really exciting to me. And it feels like that number has grown over the past 3 or 4 years.
I can see that. I think like this is such a good movement now for businesses starting up. I think we sort of saw that surge happen with the .com and then these sort of, you know, disruptors to the market. But then I think we're also seeing like strength in these sort of smaller businesses that have this sort of stability that's come like now that, you know, we're out of the recession and, you know, capital is available and people are willing to invest. Like, this is sort of a good time to take risks. Mm-hmm. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so-called golden age of entrepreneurship right now. So, you know, obviously you're getting started with your own business. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about sort of what you've learned, or obviously there's a pretty good learning curve, I would imagine, with starting your business. When you think about things that you've learned or, you know, takeaways for you just here in the early going, what are some of the lessons that stand out?
I think several of them stand out. Some of the best advice I got was sort of getting out there fast. You know, I think there's sometimes, especially for myself as a marketer, you know, there's this tendency. It's like, I want to have this like magnificent website and it's going to be so extensive. And the reality is like, I needed just something up fast. And since I had that, that sort of was able for me to move forward and like, look, I have a website. I'm legit. You know, I was able to call back another, you know, former clients of mine to get them to write up quick, you know, reviews of my work. And that was helpful, but the less drawn out you can make that process, the better. I think the other thing too is really just talk to as many people as you can. You know, I think my first like 2 months of my entrepreneur, like, you know, leap was probably, I was so over caffeinated because I was just meeting people for coffee, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. And, you know, but those people really helped me get into a stable position quickly. Mm-hmm. So I think those are two of the critical elements. And, you know, don't be afraid to talk up your business. I think for a woman especially, like, we're very, sometimes we'll be reserved about talking about our business. And even when I was discussing with a recent friend of mine, you know, how I felt really lucky to have launched this or have gotten, you know, hired at the Navy recently. You know, her perspective is like, don't say luck. You worked really hard for this. And so, you know, you definitely want to keep that grind and, you know, keep reaching out to people and, you know, keep the email juices flowing as much as possible.
Yeah. Your point about going to market, you know, and not trying to have it too perfect. Had Melissa Stefania.
I had a friend of mine pulling out. She's like, do you want to know about the glaring spelling error on your front page of your website? And I was like, oh no. Like, you will make mistakes too. And I think that's also part of it.
Well, that is part of it. But, you know, it's sort of that effectuation school of entrepreneurship where, like, get it out there. The sooner you're there, the sooner you can get feedback from your customers. So had a really nice conversation with Melissa Stefania.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
And she was saying, like, there is this tendency to want it to be really perfect. And but the most valuable lessons, I mean, your customers will help you figure out what they want and what they need. And that is something that Sarah Svathi talks a lot about in her
taking her class.
There you go. That's right. So how has Darden helped you with this?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, I think part of it is just making sure that making me feel comfortable to make some of these leaps, you know, and also making me, you know, there's a lot of value in realizing that the ladder you are on is the wrong ladder. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely my case. And, you know, I'm so glad that I was in an area where I could make that switch and make that sort of have this period of basically introspection about my own job and my own career. I really, you know, my Darden classmates will vouch, I like read an obscene amount of like self-help books just because I love that sort of like feeling literature. But like no amount of that sort of, like, you know, introspection really can kind of get to you. Like you're going to be able to get from people who see you and interact with you in a professional setting, but in a safe space. At work, if you're getting evaluated, you know, nobody tends to like reviews, or there's a feeling of on the spot, and there isn't that freedom to make mistakes like you can in the Darden community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's all about learning.
Exactly.
Right. And you do make a great point about sort of that career introspection, how you have the 21 months or so while you're in the program to engage in these questions that like you just don't have the luxury to, and you don't have the structure for it, right? You have two career advisors sitting with you at work, or
no.
You have a professional advancement course just coming up after your next meeting.
No, not at all. And, you know, it's just like those are the resources that you just really can't replicate this. And even if you read, you know, every Harvard Business Review article out there, or, you know, go to regular like conferences, like you'll sort of have that, like for me, when I go to, like, I'll go to this great conference and I have this like amazing boost, but then it sort of fades aside. You fall out of contact. Like, you know, it's not that same element of the real life connection with people.
When you talk to Jim and Sarita and Connie about the work that they do, so much of it is about just being students' accountability coach,
Right?
So, you know, we've had these conversations. This is what you said that you want to do. How's it going? What are you, what are you working on?
Or even just like the tough truths. Like, I think that's a big one too. Like, you know, I have to give like another shout out to Sarita, who like, she very much is like, I think you're an entrepreneur. And like, I think you should start this consulting business. And, you know, I did resist a lot, but, you know, there's also this nice sense of like, it is a caring community and like, they want the best for you. So like, they're not just trying to like hand you up or get you out of their room so they can meet with the next student. Like I got a ton of support from all those people through my whole process.
So last question, what advice would you have for a prospective student looking at Darden, or maybe just thinking generally about an MBA?
You know, I think my best advice I can give to people is, if you're thinking about it, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about MBAs. I think there's this idea that they're very cutthroat, or people are mean, or they're meant for like kind of these like business people that are really at the end of the day are looking to make a ton of money. Go to a class, sit in a class, actually see what you're learning and see what that looks like, and interact with the students. I think it changed my entire dynamic and the entire way I saw it when I actually came to a Darden visit. The MBA was so abstract, and I just really didn't know what I would be in a classroom learning. And then all it took was like one Lynn and Isabella's classes, and I was like, this is it. This is where I'm supposed to go.
No, that's such a good point. I mean, we find all the time that people have very formed ideas about what an MBA is and what it isn't, and who's in the room and who's not in the room.
Yeah.
And I do think when you come, you know, for class visits or you come to events, you can start to piece together sort of the personalities of schools and, you know, the kind of people that are there, and you can find a culture that's maybe a good fit for you. Every school's going to have its own culture, and a class visit is a great way to get a feel for what Darden's all about, because sitting on a class, you see the case method, and you talk with students, you can have lunch with them, you get a lot of data points you can gather in 2 or 3 hours or so on a Saturday, Sunday, Friday, you know, Thursday. You go down to Charlottesville.
Yeah, it's the perfect way to like test drive it.
Absolutely. Well, Terrell, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You're very welcome.
And that was my conversation with Terrell Fuller, a student in our class of 2019. Of course, as always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, thanks for listening.